We're going to get some calls on this. Stay right where you are, Alan, Lori, 888-957-9570. But let's go out to the River Islands guest line. It's time for Cleared to Play. Taking you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in our friend, Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Doc, it is awesome to have you, especially today. The news that Christian McCaffrey is going to Germany means what to you?
So I think, first of all, the important thing is we don't know exactly what he's going there for. So I know a lot of people are speculating, is he going to get some sort of treatment? Is he seeing a specialist? So I think, number one, you know, we don't know that. But if you're going to make a valid assumption, it's probably going there to get some sort of additional non-invasive treatment to speed up this process of Achilles healing. So in general, you have to think, what's different in Germany versus in the U.S.? And I think the big difference is in terms of biologic treatments, basically things you can take from your own body and inject into an area to basically allow things to, number one, heal potentially quicker or potentially heal in the first place. So that potentially may be what he's doing. We've heard other players, in the NBA, I mean, everyone's name brings up Kobe Bryant, other players over the years who've gone there to get certain treatments because they're regulated differently over there, to potentially heal with more chronic issues and help them get back quicker and prevent things from becoming more chronic.
What are these treatments in specifically, and what would the timeline be if he goes over there and gets one of these biologic treatments and it actually works?
I think you kind of break them down into kind of like two big groups. I mean, there are the platelet-rich plasma injections, which they do here in the U.S., but the way they kind of process the cells and how much platelets are kind of in that injection to allow for healing, a little bit different in Europe. And the other thing that they do during Europe are stem cell injections, where they can basically take stem cells, which are basically cells that can differentiate into anything. They can differentiate into muscle cells. They can differentiate into other kind of tissue cells. They can take that from your bone, and they can actually, in Europe, culture them so they multiply, and then you can come back later and get them injected. So there are a lot of different things that they do there that aren't as tightly regulated as they are here in the U.S. that have been shown in studies to help. So potentially what he may be going there for is some sort of injection where they're taking some material from his body, either multiplying it or manipulating it in a certain way that allows him to have more localized healing in that tendon. In general, for these things to work, you're still looking at 4 to 6 weeks. Tissue still heals at the same rate. So potentially what they're thinking is that maybe this may speed it up a little bit or may allow him to come back a little bit stronger so he can be more impactful upon a return. But these typically take 4 to 6 weeks to set in if he's going down that route.
Yeah, Doc, I want to focus in on that because I get it, especially as a doctor. We're not going to make assumptions about what he's going to Germany to do. I don't think he's going on vacation. I'm going to guess, right, that what you just said, something along those lines, and I've heard the same thing, that there has been data that suggests after these procedures, 6 weeks is kind of the number. So with a week 9 bye, like, can a fan, and I get that we're making a leap here, but can we make a guess right now that's kind of the over-under, the week 10 game against Tampa Bay? Is that the view right now, the hope for Christian McCaffrey, you think?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable thing to be looking at. I think that if for some reason he gets to week 10, potentially week 11, and he's not playing yet, then you start wondering, what's really the utility of having him play week 13, week 14, where he can aggravate something? And then, unfortunately, that decision then potentially may become, do you just sit him for the rest of the season? Like, what's the risk of having him play 2 to 3 games and aggravate this versus then getting 4 or 5 months to heal it? So I do think that week 9, week 10, week 11 period, we're really going to know whether we're going to see Christian McCaffrey this season, or is this potentially going to be something that then shelves him until next year.
Is it troubling that he's had to go overseas to get not necessarily a desperate treatment, but does it feel like maybe all the modalities that they've tried here haven't been working?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great assumption there, Dan. I think that in general, you think about the timing, like, they clearly have known that he's had this issue for a while, and they put him on the IR for a while. So the fact that you're seeing a little bit of a delay in terms of when he's going to seek that treatment may mean, number one, it may not be responding the way that he wants to, or number two, which may be the more likely scenario, is that the time frame that he's been given in terms of when they think he can get back, they're saying, look, this might be 8 to 10 weeks. He may potentially be saying, you know what, let me try something else to see if I have an opportunity to come back. So I think on both, whichever way you want to look at it, I think he's potentially going there a couple weeks into this injury because either he's not hearing what he wants to hear here or it's not responding the way he wants to. given the fact that the season's already started.
Doc Pandia with us. Doc, I want to ask you about Drake Greenlaw as well. Kyle Shanahan said before the year started, he hoped for mid-season. He did not leave that comment yesterday, but did say no update, no timetable for Dre. He just said that yesterday after week three. Obviously, the injury happened in February. What is your thought? What's a reasonable hope for Dre Greenlaw's return?
I think the middle of the season is a reasonable time frame, and we know at this point his Achilles is healed. We know that everything structurally should be fine. I think the part that we don't know, and probably why Kyle's not saying, you know, I can't definitively say that, is really now based on how he feels. You know, is there pain? Can he perform effectively on the field? And that's always hard to know until he's really ramped up and back in practice and doing more things. So I think, absolutely, if you look at most players coming off Achilles, it's usually like month nine where you see them kind of feel ready to really get back at it and perform at a high level professionally. So that puts them right in that middle part of the season, if not a little bit earlier than that. So I do think that that portion may be realistic. The hard thing is, how is he going to feel in practice? And more importantly, like, can he actually contribute on the football field? If he's too hesitant or if he doesn't feel a strength there, then it may mean another week, a week or two. But from a structural standpoint, everything should be healed. Now it's just a matter of him getting back into football shape.
Doc, one more. Javon Hargrave with the partially torn triceps, and they are opting for surgery, which will cost him the year. Is that something that's just a no-brainer that you can't possibly play through?
Yeah, I think especially if that injury is kind of where the tendon is. So, you know, a lot of times players will get injuries to the muscle itself, and you never do surgery on those unless they're really, really bad. But if you get an injury to the tendon, even if it's partially torn, basically your triceps doesn't work if that tendon's partially torn. You basically have the shoestring holding it to bone, and you got this powerful muscle pulling on it. So typically, in order for a player not to, number one, injure themselves later, a week or two, or even be impactful, you can imagine if you don't have function of your triceps, you just simply can't play effectively that position. So for the most part, with those partial tears, if they involve the tendon, the better course of action is to get it fixed, be able to train, and then essentially what can then happen is then you can get back, and potentially if this heals pretty quickly, you could theoretically, if they have a late playoff run, see him back. Most of these run 4 to 6 months in terms of recovery, so if he kind of falls to that 4 month period and the 49ers recover and have a playoff run, you could potentially see him back late playoffs.
Doc, this was an important one. Thank you so much for your perspective.
No problem. Take care, guys.
All right, there he goes. Doc Pandia, the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. Want to continue to take as many of your thoughts as possible at 888-957-9570. Let's go to Alan in San Jose. Alan, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, can you hear me? Is everything okay?
Yeah, we got you, brother.
Awesome. Get right, CMC, first. Like, I keep hearing he's traveling overseas for his Achilles. It feels like the Iliad, where, you know, anyways. But that's one comment. Just get right, CMC. Please get right. But also, long-time listener, first-time holder. Huh. I do hold on longer than Ronnie Bell holds on to a ball.
That's a five.
I know you from the Rise guys. I loved Kreidler, Whitey, and Dibley. Like, that, some of my favorite times. So, anyways, I'm just trying to reminisce right now. But I will say the reason why I called an hour ago is that the big win off the Jets, like, that felt really good. Like, I felt like everything was positive. We're owning Aaron Rodgers, but now Aaron Rodgers looks really good. So my concern is that if we played Aaron Rodgers now, how would that look? So anyway, it's a win, so that's great. But then after the Vikings loss, we were still number three in the power rankings, and that was, like, surprising to me that we were still number three. And then now we lose to a depleted Rams team, and I understand that the Niners were also depleted, but all we're pumping up is, like, Juwan Jennings and Brock Purdy. And by the way, I love that. Like, Brock Purdy's performance was amazing. Like, there's no complaints. And Juwan Jennings, he's just amazing. It's not third and Juwan, it's just Juwan. How about that? Like, it's not third and Juwan. Maybe elevate him higher than the other receivers. And listening to Hushmanzada and, you know, Madden talk is Hushmanzada, incorrectly pronounced. I don't really trust what Hushmanzada was saying, because I think that Juwan Jennings needs more balls, not Brandon Ayuk. And I understand that Brandon Ayuk is amazing. Like, they paid him a price for a reason. Like, he's an amazing player. But who they didn't pay was Juwan Jennings, and he scored three touchdowns. Like, It's just crazy to me. And well, then I just was taking out... Yeah, go ahead.
No, Alan, we got a boogie. Thank you very much for a good phone call. They did pay Juwan, by the way. They did pay Juwan.
Yeah.
Juwan got an extension as well.
A little bit.
Yeah. Juwan got his market rate, which would be different today if they were to renegotiate, right. But they're not. And that's a good thing. All right, this conversation is nowhere near done. 888-957-9570 is the number. Grandy's grades are around the corner, and... To further the conversation he just referenced, TJ Houshmandzadeh, former receiver, Brandon Ayuk's personal coach. Wait till you hear, if you missed it, wait till you hear what he said about Jennings getting more targets than Brandon Ayuk. We will play that for you, just that comment, coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
To
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
It's been an interesting day already.
Yeah.
It's been a real interesting day. Tomorrow will be too. At least that's the way I like to look at it. Check this out, by the way. Tomorrow, after our show, and after Grandy does his thing, 7 o'clock, right here, 95.7 The Game. We'll be airing a two-hour special on mental health, featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening is our two-hour special, spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. The show will be hosted by Carson Daly and available on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org. Were you listening when TJ Houshmandzadeh came on this show a short time ago and said this with regard to Juwan Jennings out-targeting Brandon Ayuk?
Business as usual. He's going to create separation. He's going to get open. You've got to get open and catch the ball. It's not like he's not getting open. Watch it. I know Juwan Jennings, he got off yesterday. I honestly would have preferred for him to get the targets that Juwan had and Juwan get the targets that B.A. had. That's what I'm doing if I'm Shanahan, because that's what I paid him for. That's what I paid him for. You locked in with B.A. for the next 2 to 3 years. I'm going to get my money's worth. That's what I would prefer to see. That's what I would like to see. But if he's showing you when you're giving him these looks and these targets and these opportunities that he's not getting it done, obviously you're not going to put the team second and him first. If he's making plays, it's going to be helping the team. And so I just always feel like when you pay a player that amount of money, you want him to earn it, because why pay him? Like, the Niners have a great team, but they saw that they needed to keep Ayuk at a number so high. Well, let's go. I'm going to get this money's worth out you. No, I'm not putting a full tank in my car to go ride my bike.
How's that one grab you?
Well, it misses me.
I'm not putting a full tank in my car and then going to ride a bike. The analogy suggests that Brandon Ayuk now has a full tank of gas and Juwan Jennings is a bike.
Right, but that's not what took place yesterday. And I'm going through my game log again for the 17th time to just highlight where these targets were. And I look at the box score, and Jennings had 12 targets and B.A. had 10. And of the 10... B.A. had 2 drops, I think.
At least 2. And I don't know if it was 2 or 3. It was at least 2.
Juwan Jennings had 12 targets and had 11 catches. And the one that he didn't catch, I don't believe, was a drop. It was just an incomplete pass.
Correct.
So if you want to talk about a full tank of gas and then riding a bike, I like the analogy and I get it. It's just not appropriate to what took place in this game, because Juwan Jennings got 12, Ayuk got 10. It's not like Ayuk got 2. Now, if Jennings had 12 and Brandon Ayuk had 2 targets, then the analogy might actually work, because you filled up the tank of gas, Brandon Ayuk, $30 million contract, and then you rode a bike, Juwan Jennings making $7 million, but that's not the case. You had almost even targets, and I'm looking at one of Brandon's drops, 3rd and 4 at the 40-yard line. You had already scored on your first possession, and you scored on your second possession. This was your 3rd possession. And Ayuk with a drop on 3rd and 4. And he ended up punting the football. So that's one where your tank of gas maybe wasn't full.
Or maybe you had a full tank of gas and you got a flat tire.
Exactly.
And what do you do when you need to be somewhere a mile away and you just filled up your car with gas and you thought, man, I'm ready to ride, and then
yeah,
flat tire. Well, then a bike ain't such a bad thing, number one. Number two, I don't love the analogy from the standpoint of kind of making Juwan Jennings feel like he is less than.
He's a bike.
Look, TJ knows a lot more about play calling than I do. He's been on an NFL sideline and been one of the guys that is getting a lot of targets. I understand that. But fundamental to my point on Friday, when I was so excited about Brock Purdy getting to play without all his weapons because I really felt like he was going to play well, and he did, fundamental to my point was I believe in Kyle Shanahan, the play caller, and I believe in Brock Purdy, the deliverer. And the reason I believe in both of those things is that I believe that you can get people open even if they are not supposed stars. Meaning, ball goes to who's open. Juwan was open. I just don't know how you can look at the way that offense performed and say that the ball should have gone somewhere else. I understand if what you're trying to do is justify a contract, but then again, if the Niners are going out there to justify a contract, I would argue that's a very bad way to do business. Go out there to find the open man. If two people are open all the time, okay, I guess we could have that conversation. We know that on one play, Brandon was very open and didn't get a ball. But outside of that, I'm not going to have issue, and I said it on Friday, I don't care who you throw the ball to. Have him be open, and then Ronnie, have him catch the ball when it gets to him, which Juwan has done very well this year. Zero drops. Brandon is not. So you can call him a car and Juwan a bike, but Juwan's tires have air in them.
21 targets for Juwan, 18 catches. 20 targets for Brandon, 11 catches. Now, that doesn't mean 9 drops and 3 drops, of course, because not every pass is accurate, not every pass is catchable, and therefore a drop, but targets are almost even. Juwan Jennings has more than twice as many yards, and he's got 3 of the 4 passing touchdowns on the season. Doesn't mean that BA is now relegated to being wide receiver 3 when Debo comes back. It just means that this offense can thrive in many different ways. And they have had almost 400 yards of total offense in all 3 games. They've gone 401, 396, 425 on offense. So for me, this is not the time for anybody on offense to complain about playing time or targets or touches or anything. The offense is humming. The defense is giving up 6 yards of play.
Well,
that's
okay.
The problem.
All right, we're going to go to Lori right now, 888-957-9570. And then we're going to talk about a particular 49er defensive player who just said something on social media that you may or may not like. So we'll have that for you here in just a sec. Let's go to Lori in Phoenix first. Hi, Lori. What's going on? Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. So I called because I did not like the bike comment that was like during that interview. One of the things that's made the 49ers great for as long as they've been great is that every professional team is going to have egos, but that's not how these guys operate. These guys operate, whoever's the hot hand is going to get plays. They work as a team. It's not about one guy. So to me, just because Ayuk's making 30 doesn't mean that Juwan didn't go off in the playoffs last year and help you in the Super Bowl. That's why he got an extension as well. He was in camp. He was ready to go. So you don't give targets to Ayuk just because he makes more. And if that's the kind of attitude, and again, that was TJ saying that, so I don't know if that's Brandon's attitude or not, but that's not an attitude that's going to lead to winning football for me. I think, again, that we all know that the offense goes right through CMC. But when you hear CMC talk, he talks more about the other players that help him, that help block for him. Fred Warner, another leader on the team, who wouldn't even accept a defensive award because the team lost. That's what makes this unit great. So, again, I believe in Brandon. I think Brandon is a great wide receiver. But I think Brandon needs to check his ego at the door and realize that he's got to earn it every year. And yes, he's making a lot of money and he can be great at what he does, but let's show it on the field as well.
Lori, it's a great call and thank you so much. Those of you, and I know some of you are like, we see the discussion on all of our platforms right now with regard to what TJ had to say. And as you pointed out, Dibs, he's telegraphed which side of the fence that he's on. But wouldn't you have felt a lot better about it if he was like, look, you paid him $30 million, you got to feed him the ball, .. Now, B.A., when you get fed the ball, you got to catch it.
You got to eat.
I'd have felt so much better about the conversation if we had gotten that.
Of course.
Like, you can't, this is not a one-sided conversation. There's no way you can sit here today and say, well, Brandon got paid, you got to feed him the ball, and then just leave it there. Without stating that when they have fed him the ball, he has often not caught it. This has got to, at minimum, be shared.
Right.
At minimum.
Well, and that's not going to be where TJ is coming from, and I get that, and it is telegraphed, and TJ is Brandon Ayuk's personal coach, and so, yeah, you're probably not expecting fair and balanced, and I saw the YouTube comments during the interview, and people are coming at TJ and coming down his road, and that's fine, and that's fair to do it, but TJ is representing largely one side of it. But the reality is, they have fed him. He's only one target behind Juwan Jennings, and he had the four drops, and I'm just going through, again, the notes, and they come out in the third quarter, and they force a three and out from the Rams, and the 49ers are up 14-7. First play from scrimmage is a BA route. They called a pass play to BA, and Brock threw it about 7 feet over his head. Bad throw. B.A. was open. He had about a yard or two of separation, and Brock didn't hit him. And after that, Ayuk didn't get targeted for a long time in the second half. So I could see where there would be some frustration from Ayuk. The next pass plays were Jennings, a drop by Bell, and then we get into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then you get to Jennings.
Catch.
Catch.
Yep.
And then you get into that final drive where it was a pretty scramble, back-to-back Ayuks, including one which was incomplete, and then the bell dropped. So I could see where, and I don't know if TJ talked to him and BA was expressing frustration, but all you have to do from a BA standpoint is watch the second half and see that you got the first target of the second half, and then you didn't get another target until the final drive. I could see where that would be frustrating.
You think?
Even though Juwan was, and I'll just run through it. It's Juwan for 9. There was a Mason. Juwan for 32. Juwan for 14. Juwan for 15. Juwan for 6. Juwan for 6. He was cooking.
Well, I mean, sports is like that, right? And some people like it one way, and some people like it the other way. And here's what I mean by that. You see it in the NBA a lot. Like, do you want Steph Curry, or back when Durant, this is probably the better comp, when Durant was here, do you like it when it's just like, here, dude, here's the ball, cook? Or do you like that ball to move, right? Mike D'Antoni, the ball finds energy, and it finds the open man, and you get a good look that way, and you have multiple people that can do it. I don't really care where you come from as a fan in terms of what you like to watch, but I think in the end, fans tend to love it more, and it tends to work more if your team has that for a philosophy, team. And it can be like every time I've heard of a team doing well, you'll hear guys be like, well, it's a different guy every night. You know what I mean? Who kind of takes the lead or whatever. Sure, you can have your best players and they can get more run than the others more often than not. But I don't like this concept, and I don't think this is fully what TJ was saying, but I don't like this concept of like, well, you signed him, so now force it to him. Drop back and look for him first, as opposed to drop back and find the open man. How do you have issue on any level with what Juwan Jennings did last Sunday?
Right.
That doesn't compute to me.
And for me, you could take that even further and say, how could you have issue with what Brock Purdy did outside of the fumble, which I mean, that kind of caught him off guard. McKivitz got absolutely crushed on the play.
Yeah, got sacked. I mean,
and then the throw where, yeah, Ayuk was open down the middle, and you maybe could have or probably should have thrown it to him, and it's game over, but you didn't. He still made a positive play out of it, but outside of that, and I would even go one step further and say, how would you have issue with Kyle Shanahan? And this is where TJ kind of lost me. He was intimating that Kyle Shanahan should be drawing up and scheming plays to make sure that BA is getting a chance to eat. And I just don't, and you actually followed up with him, like, are you saying that he's supposed to, like, scheme it all up
like
no matter
targets
what?
Targets are on Shanahan to deliver?
Right.
When he's not even on the field.
Exactly. And TJ, yeah, he kind of backtracked a little bit and said, no, that's not what I'm saying, but, you know, he's your top guy, and you should, you know, be making sure that he has a chance to go out there and eat. Brock in the second half, 10 for 14. Of the four incompletes, I mentioned it, the first play from scrimmage over Ayuk's head.
Yep.
You got a couple of drops from Ronnie Bell, and I'll have to search to find the other incomplete, but the point is, 10 of 14. Oh, Ayuk incomplete on that last drive.
Yep.
Ayuk for 9, and then Ayuk incomplete. I don't think it was a drop on that final drive that preceded the play to Ronnie Bell.
Was that the long one over the top that was just out of the reach of his hands?
Yeah.
Long one over the top, just out of his reach. And some Niner fans, it sounded like, thought that it was questionable. You could have called pass interference on it. It didn't offend me. But I'm just remembering and describing the play. That's the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking at it right here. Just running back the plays here. Yeah, that's the one that he should have thrown to Ayuk.
All right. I'm going to the defensive player on the Niners and what he just said on Twitter, we're going to get to in a second. But hold on. Let's go to Daryl in Alameda, who says Willard needs to get off BA's jock. Hi, Daryl. Daryl, thank you for calling.
Willard, you're coming off as a big-time hater of Brandon. You've been on this dude from the moment, from before he signed his contract.
Yep.
If you're the number one receiver, you're supposed to have the ball schemed to you. You do not have literally running the same routes as if Deebo is out there and Kittle is out there. There were a number of times where you would go through the middle, and then Jennings would come behind him. And when you talk about his drops, did you see the ball? One of the balls was literally behind him, and he tried to catch it.
Okay.
Yeah, he got two hands on
Daryl, do you hear yourself? Listen to what you're saying right now. You're damn right. I have been on him since August because his behavior, in my opinion, has not been okay. He seems to agree with me. When he finally signed, did a press conference, and referred to himself as a pain in the rear. If you're going to refer to him as a number one receiver, how are you going to tell me that, oh, but the ball was a touch behind him? Hold on, I thought he was a number one receiver. If he's that dude, Daryl, you don't get to excuse, oh, but the ball was a little bit off, or someone else is running other routes that are better, or his five drops. We're not going to bring that into the conversation. Daryl, like, guilty as charged. I am annoyed. I have been annoyed by this person for the last 7 weeks. Absolutely guilty.
Why are you not annoyed at our number one paid defensive guy?
I am. I am annoyed by him, too, but nowhere near as much. Nowhere near as much, because Brandon Ayuk asked for a specific number. He got that number. He sat on that number. His own wide receiver coach just said to us on our show that he advised him, dude, sign the deal and get in. He didn't. Then he shows up 3 weeks late and says, I was kind of a pain in the rear in the end. Then he shows up for week one and drops the ball in the end zone. And I'm supposed to be okay? Like, come on. Come on. I was a big BA fan all last year, and I'm not saying today that I'm not, but I'm allowed to call out what I find to be not very acceptable behavior. And if you want to point to Nick Bosa, he has been disappointing, but if you want to, like, spotlight the last 3 weeks and ask which one's playing better, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is playing better than Brandon Ayuk right now. Good enough? No. But I don't find this two to be equal situations right now.
Okay, the only difference that we know of is that Brandon Ayuk was literally publicly keeping us abreast of what's going on with the negotiation.
Which is a factor. Which, Dale, that is a factor. You can't blow that off. He dragged the organization, and he was given the offer he asked for. I don't know that Nick was. I don't know that. I don't think Nick sat on that offer for 3 weeks and skipped camp for no reason. We've never been told that, and I don't believe that to be true. Go ahead, Daryl.
We do know that he sat and he didn't. He basically went for more than what was offered, right?
Right.
Fleeced the 49ers for $10 million.
You can argue that, but Daryl, if you're going to hold out for more, then get more. Brandon held out for nothing. Brandon got the offer he wanted and didn't sign it.
Then that's on him. That's his fault for being stupid.
Agreed.
I'm saying,
why can't I say that then?
You're the number one receiver, and you're not getting the ball thrown to him.
You're also not catching it when it is, Daryl. Daryl, you're also not catching it when it is thrown. What do you mean, oh my God, Daryl? This is data. He's got five drops. Daryl,
let me ask you something.
Daryl, answer my question.
When Jimmy G was...
Does he have five drops? Does he have five drops in three games or not? Is that a fact, yes or no?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Yes, he does.
And then what are we talking about, Dale?
Wait, Willard. You can't stop right there. How many times has Ayuk been wide open, more than a yard or two of separation, and literally does not get a look?
Why don't you
not get the ball thrown at him?
Daryl, unless you're watching the All 22, I don't even know if you can answer that question. I know that he was wide open at least one time for what could have, should have been a touchdown against the Rams, and Brock didn't pull the trigger. So we can, that's one play. If you want to focus on that, you can. Brock Purdy was freaking delectable. He was awesome in that game. You cannot tell me Brandon's playing well. There's not a piece of you that can say that right now, Daryl.
Oh, my God. You guys.
Am I lying? You think he's playing well right now, Daryl?
Willard, no, he isn't. Let me tell you.
Okay,
Willard,
go ahead.
Let me say this last thing. When Jimmy G was spraying the ball too high behind receiver, I mean literally laying him out to get laid out, you guys were calling him out on it, right? If they didn't catch it. So what's the difference whether Purdy throws it behind him and he doesn't catch the ball?
Wow, Daryl. Okay, first of all, I don't even know.
What's the difference?
A huge difference. What's the difference between Jimmy and Brock? You can't be serious right now, Daryl. John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. Like, Brock Purdy threw a ball that was like maybe 6 inches behind Brandon Ayuk on a slant route. Brandon didn't catch it. I haven't even made a big deal about that play at any point. To compare what you saw from Brock Purdy last week or any other week to Jimmy Garoppolo is factually inaccurate. Plus, Jimmy hasn't even come up in this conversation. I don't even know why you just brought him up. Like, Daryl, I can meet you halfway. You want more targets for BA? Let's talk about it. But you have to add that when he has gotten targets, he's dropped them. You cannot remove that from this conversation, Daryl.
So if you're an athlete, there is a rhythm, whether it does across any game that you play.
Yes.
There's a rhythm. If you're number one and you do not get the ball thrown to you, you're going to get ticked and your head may not be in the game.
And Daryl, who's responsible? Who's responsible for the lack of rhythm? I would argue, and thank you so much, Daryl. I'm not hanging up on you for any other reason than our clock. Who's responsible for Brandon Ayuk's rhythm when he was offered $30 million on August 5th and sat for 3.5 weeks? Who's responsible for his rhythm? That's what I'd ask.
officially two drops for Brandon Ayuk, according to multiple stat services.
In that game.
In the season, he's got two drops.
That's not accurate.
Well, that's just, everyone looks at drops differently. And, you know, when you, like the play in the end zone, when he dives and gets two hands on it, yeah, you should make that catch.
Yeah.
I don't believe that that's credited as a drop.
Well, then I got my own stats, because that's
I'm
a drop.
I'm just saying.
Especially if we don't want to go.
During that little back and forth, but I was doing the research on exactly how many drops he has.
He's a number one, Dibs. He's a number one.
Right, two drops, which is tied for fourth most in the league.
Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570. We can react to that. That was good. Thank you, Daryl. That was good. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Grandy's Grades, your calls all around the corner into our 5 o'clock hour on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Well, Daryl was such a an energetic call that we didn't get to the tweet that was just sent by a 49er defender.
I saw it, and I don't get it. Maybe you speak Twitter, but I
get it.
I saw it, and I read it, and I don't get it.
Diamador Lenore quote tweets the Los Angeles Rams Twitter account, which sent out a picture of the 49ers' win probability and the tracking of the data throughout the game and how high the win probability was.
So high!
And the fact that it was up well above 90% with not very long to go in the football game.
It peaked at 96%.
And then, obviously, goes through the floor toward the end of the game, and the Rams win. And the Rams tweet out, and I, ... So Diamador Lenore quote tweets and says, a garbage can get a steak every now and then. Hashtag Patriots on the clock.
You want to explain what that means?
Sure.
A garbage can get a steak every now and then?
It's like a blind squirrel finds a nut. Like even a garbage can gets to eat a steak every now and again if someone throws it away.
Ah, okay.
So, in other words, Rams, you got lucky. You're a garbage can. You happen to get a steak. Patriots, here we come.
Gotcha. All right. I'd never heard that analogy about a garbage can eating a steak.
I hadn't heard it either. That's just how I translate it. I think that's what he means.
Okay.
Grandy, Lucas, you buy that? That's what he means, don't you think?
Yeah, broken clock right twice a day, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, score that one for the Rams on social media.
If I
play to win the game.
Well, and if I'm a Niner,
you don't play to win on X.
Look, Lenore, if someone's going to speak, I guess, you know, Fred, Lenore, like the actual players who are playing well, but your defense right now stinks, so I'd probably stay quiet, and I don't think Fred feels this way. You know what I mean? Like, Fred's been an unbelievable voice always for the 49ers, but especially this year. In calling for urgency, in saying it's not okay to just keep going to the sideline and saying, my bad. Like, we've got to stop this. This is not all right. And so, you know, I give you an example. Did you see the Baltimore Ravens team plane after the win over the Cowboys?
No.
I'm going to forget.
Probably pretty fun.
Well, right. They're celebrating, right? And I'm going to forget which player it was.
I saw some team with the smoke machine over the weekend.
Well, one of the players, and I'm going to look up who it was, one of the players did an IG live, and he's cruising through the plane, and he shows Lamar Jackson, and he's kind of, come on, Lamar, talk to the people. You know, like, we're not going to win that game without you. Let them know. Kind of an idea. I'm paraphrasing, but that was kind of the idea. And Lamar looked at him in a real calm way, like, yeah, like, you know, feels good to get the win, and what's up, Ravens Nation? Like, how you doing? And you should not be doing an IG live right now. We are 1-2. That's not okay.
Yeah.
And the player turned around and went the other way on the airplane.
Yeah.
I think that's how if I'm Fred, that might be what I would say to Demo right now. We're 1-2. How about let's get ourselves together and get off of Twitter?
Take the L.
Yeah.
Take the L. Because, yes, you blew it, and the Rams social media is happy about it. And so they, I don't think they tweeted at him. He just saw it and then went over the top of it.
Correct.
And chimed in.
Yeah, they did not tag Demo Lenore.
Right. Now, if they had, I would say the response is more justified than this. Just take the L. It was your side of the football that blew the game. So you actually were the ones who went to the store and bought a steak and threw it into that garbage can. You were the ones who cooked the steak, medium rare, the only way to cook a steak,
yep.
And then you threw it right into their trash can mouth. So just take the L. That's all.
Help me out with the analogy. So if the Rams are the trash can in this scenario, right?
Correct.
So the 49ers got beat by a trash can.
Correct.
What does that mean about the 49ers?
Steak.
The 49ers are steak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got beat by trash. You shouldn't be talking about
it. You got eaten by trash, apparently.
Yeah, if we're going to continue with that analogy.
You got eaten.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat it.
And I wonder if this Twitter activity will alter Grandy's grades, which are coming up.
They are coming. In
grades are locked in.
In mere moments. In mere moments. Yeah. I don't know. Only Grandy knows.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, look,
and thank you for explaining that to me, because I just saw steak and trash can, and I didn't get it. Maybe
I give you the emotion that gives me the exact same emotion as when Deebo Samuel says, we've been the best team for a while now in the league. I'm not offended by it, but I get how people are going to feel when you see that, and it's just kind of like, that's probably not the time, probably not going to land well, probably not where we would love to see your heads at this particular time. But at the same time, of course, Deebo has the utmost confidence. Diamador Lenore has the utmost confidence. And you're not going to take that from them. So not offended by it, but I understand it's just not going to land well with people.
Yeah.
It's just not.
No, you lost, you take the L, and you move on. Today's an off day for the players, and so I'm imagining Diamador Lenore doing a workout, getting some treatment, and he's sitting on his phone, and he sees it, and he's thinking, oh, no, Rams. Oh, no, I'm not getting – you're not gonna play us. What's that thing from Fizdale that you always like?
You're not going to rook us.
Thank you. I always forget it.
You're not going to rook us. You're not going to rook us.
Honey, give me my phone. I'm not going to let the Rams rook me. I'm going to come with that trash can steak analogy. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining it to me. I didn't get it, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay. I like my social media a little bit more direct.
You like it medium rare?
I like it direct. I'm about to respond to somebody on social media with a direct response.
Oh.
Yeah.
Somebody come down your road?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
But just one of these silly things. And I got into it with somebody earlier today, and it ended on friendly terms.
It did?
I'm trying to have a more honest back and forth that doesn't go straight to animosity.
Okay.
Because you know me, I like a grudge. I'm trying to keep it a little bit more civil as I get a little bit older.
Yeah, but you know, if they come at you at social media, that's literally the only reason. They just want to...
Not always.
They just want to see your cheeks turn red.
Some people do want an actual back and forth.
Well,
so
yeah.
I usually give them a response once, and then if they come a second time, then I'll either just block them or blow them
up. But you can feel the back and forth comes from a like, well, this is my take, here's your take. But when it's like, you're a clown, bro! Like, that's not a real response. That's I want to see your cheeks get red and see if I can get my Twitter... Like a little action. Yeah. Trying to get a little action off of you.
Yes.
Trying to pull your shine, dog.
But this is this is where I'm one of the best to ever do it.
But you got the gig.
Right.
They don't have the gig.
Not only do I have the gig.
You're sitting at home with a phone.
I've got the gift. And I've got the gift of gab. And I've got the wit. I can turn a phrase. And I don't often take an L. So even if it's on social media.
If you do, you'll bounce back.
Last night I took an L. Actually, last night I got a lot of W's.
Last night I took an L.
Yeah, you did.
But today I bounced back. All right, let's go to...
Big win for your boy. Big night last night.
Good for you. Did you actually bet it?
No, course not.
Oh, no.
I am I'm on some WNBA right now, so go ahead and take a phone call.
3 hours into the show and you have not victory lapped on beating me in fantasy. That's very kind of you. It's unnecessary, but it's kind of you.
It was a little bit of a rock fight
yeah,
between you and I.
And
neither one of us had a great week.
Yeah, but we knew it would be.
Yeah.
And you pulled it out by a point and a half.
Last year, I lost six games by a total of about 15 points. Yeah, so I'm hoping this year, fortune's turn.
Yeah. Are you 2-1? Same.
And my only loss was to the Goo by like a point and a half. So
Andy is shaking his head. Are you 0-3?
I do not want to talk about it.
You are so 0-3. Oh, that's too bad.
The good news for him, though, is there's a team in our league that will probably go winless. And
who's that?
The guy who drafted Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, Sam
Lubman. Sam Lubman.
Yeah, that's a tough break.
I should save this for tomorrow's crossover, but I won't, because I disrespected Steiny's team.
Yeah.
And he had Juwan Jennings this week in his starting lineup.
Yeah.
For damn near 50 points. Well, his team's better than I thought.
Well, he was a weirdo for drafting him when he did, but sometimes weird stuff works out.
Yeah. I should be man enough to say it to his face, but I won't.
Say it to his face.
I'd rather not.
All right. Let's go to Burns in the city, and then we're going to do Grandy's Grace.
This guy is such a D.
Hey, I love Burns, that. What's cooking?
Not much, y'all. How you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Yeah. The same, Burns. We're good, man.
Good. I hope your blood pressure went down after that argument with Daryl.
Burns? The people who know me well know that that's actually my comfort zone. My blood pressure is doing just fine.
Good to hear. All right, man. So a couple weeks ago, I think y'all asked the question, who's the best Niner? And I called and I said Juwan Jennings. I didn't really get to explain why, but at the time it was like a lukewarm take. Now I guess it's a little hot, because I think that Juwan, right, he has the mindset that I feel like the Niners have drifted away from. Where's the grittiness? Where's the, I will take this ball and I will get myself the yardage? I mean, I think the culture kind of shifted with Jimmy. Jimmy got paid, and then, like, you know, he kind of faded into oblivion. And then, what, Nick Bosa got paid, and he also had this late start. Ayuk is having this late start. I mean, like, if we did, like, contract by contract, who is actually putting out the most? Like, what, Warner, Brock, and Juwan, right? And I don't know when this shifted. And I don't know if this is like a result of Shanahan's flashy offense that like gets so much attention that these players who are standouts in the offense are now so big-headed, right? Like that they think that they demand so much more money. But I don't know, man. I saw this coming. I thought we were going to have another 2020 season. Injuries, stats up on stats up before the year started. Game one, week one, I was like, oh, wow, we can actually make it far, but if we make it into the playoffs, I bet we lose first or second round, man. And I'm of the mindset, sell everything, keep Brock.
Wow.
Sell everything, keep Brock. And
Burns,
let's see what happens.
You don't think you're a little early to that party?
No, dude. I just think that guys are consumed by themselves so much that the team has not come before them. And unless that, like, shifts, and you know what? Maybe this L will shift it, and I'll come back with a completely new take in a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? Well, but, like, right now, like, expectations are hella low.
Burns, thanks, man.
And Burns was ahead on the Juwan Jennings wagon, so maybe he's ahead of this one, too.
Well, I do remember that call, because I was like, Juwan Jennings? And then all of a sudden, Juwan Jennings. Okay,
yeah.
So for this week... I'm nowhere near like just giving up on the season after week three. However, I think there is a discussable point there, which we did kind of on the crossover when I asked how much of this do you think is a press clipping thing? Like, I do think that the Niners on some level, whether it's like direct or indirect, some of this is the result that the 49ers walk into a situation in a game each week where they're like, we're really good. We're really good. And what that means is, like, maybe your play calling is too vanilla, or maybe you think a teammate is going to pick up for you in a different way. Like, they need to get back to basics a little bit, because right now their reputation is better than their reality.
Right, and they're, so far through three games, the reality is that they're 1-2.
Yeah.
So that ultimately is the only thing that matters, stats and targets and Ayuk and perception and defense and coordinator and all the rest of it. You've won one game out of three. That's all that really matters.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.